socially distance and wear a mask when necessary.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hey, Michael here. I'm with the Tin Can Phone Podcast, a radio show where you can hear about the influence incarceration has straight from the source. We tell you the story from the inside out. So make sure to check us out on KBOO Community Radio every first Tuesday at 10 a.m.
KBOO Radio Station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on. The Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala, bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish and support harmony within ourselves and set the stage for practice.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
Makes you such a threat. We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Joshua.
Get on up.
μου έχω την κοιέρε, την κοιέρε.
Μπε του Βαστέλο, Τανιάν Βατσιάνκε, Τσάντε Βαστένα Πέτσι Ζαπιέλο, Λέ Τσάντε Ιτάχα Ουγγαλακέ, Λέ Ουμκυπική Χε Βαστέλο. Greetings and good day and welcome, my relatives. I shake your hands with a good heart. This is a voicing from the heart. It's good for all of us to be sitting here and to those of you who are listening. And you are listening to First Voices Radio and Teokasin Ghost Tour, sending you greetings and strength from the highlands of the Esopus, or what Americans and Dutch call the Catskill Mountains. Regardless, it is the highlands of the Esopus and the lands of the Muncie, speaking Lenape. This is an all-native hosted, all-native produced First Voices Radio, and Liz Heal is a producer of First Voices Radio. And you can now hear us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Spotify, as well as First Voices IndigenousRadio.org for archive, downloading, and listening. And before I introduce the in-studio, in-house guests today, I'd like to welcome the camera from Science and Non-Duality, who are filming, documenting, and recording today's live session with the First Voices Radio guests. And I have in studio Jonathan Gonzalez and Lucas Jatoba and Christian Sagbai. I'll say that. And I'd like to welcome you three gentlemen from wherever you're coming from and on Mother Earth, and I want you to start out introducing yourself.
Beautiful, beautiful. Peace, peace. Thank you, Teokasin. Thank you for this invite. Thank you, everyone. So I have a question, like, what does it look like to live on the intersection of land and language? You know, the world as we know it is facing countless shifts. Business as usual sustains only the further destruction of Earth and consequently culture as we know it. You know, these are fertile times to rewrite the narrative and revisit what worked for our ancestors in relation to our one home. Peace, beloveds. The given name I use is Cristian Matute Sagbai, all pronouns. I incarnated on the land currently referred to as Gualaceo, Ecuador, but not too long ago, it was Quichua Cañari territory. And this recognition of land and language draws me to the work of language justice. I'm currently exploring this avenue of healing while keeping in mind the need for future generations to decolonize themselves through expansive and yet connective land-based principles. So that's what I offer to myself and kin, and peace, peace.
Hello, my name is Jonathan, and thank you. It's an honor to be here. I was born in Tuxtepec, Oaxaca, Mexico. My mom, Carmen Arbolay, and to my dad, Raul Gonzalez Castillo, the youngest of four brothers. I spent the last 12 years learning earth living skills and ancestral ceremonial ways with many teachers and elders in my life, and learning the earth living skills combined with participating in indigenous earth-based ceremonies, along with the quest to connect more deeply with my ancestral lineage, which is indigenous Taino from what's called Puerto Rico, as we know is Boriquen, and Chinanteco from Oaxaca, Mexico, also African. This has all dramatically shifted my life over the last 13 plus years and over the course of my entire life. I consider myself lucky to have these backgrounds and to share these love of these ways with folks from all walks of life. So I'm very, very, very honored to be here.
Thank you.
Hi, folks. I'm Lucas Jatobá. I'm a photographer and filmmaker from Manaus, in the northern part of Brazil, in the middle of the Amazon. And I'm 31 years old. I was living in Rio de Janeiro, and now I'm here, like in this land of the Hudson Valley, and I feel very honored because I'm here. Thanks for the invitation, Teokasin. I was there in Rio, was studying anthropology at the Fluminense Federal University. Now I'm here, also the co-founder of TropiClimb, which is an initiative that we're having now. And me and a friend, we founded this, like trying to put some different looks on climbing media, like from the southern part of the world. And it's that. Thanks, Teokasin, for the invitation.
No, thank all you gentlemen from various parts of the world, and especially from the Western Hemisphere. If we could all just get our water out.
Yeah.
Let's all drink some water together. Right? Minui Chozani, basically it means the voicing of living in relationship to everything. That's what water means in my language. So with that, I'd like to consume some water as we actually, you know, drink consciousness in our way. Mm-hmm. So let's do that.
That's for you.
Okay. Yeah, this is a very different radio program this evening. It's my first live show in many years. Many people have been recording their shows and sending them in on Zoom. And same here with the pandemic. Now, beyond that, here we are live. And the first, and it's so good that Indigenous peoples are in this area. And I'm thinking about how we are from different parts of the world, you know, Ecuador and Mexico and Brazil. And here I am in Turtle Island, right? And the displacement that we have, not just our own story individually, but many Indigenous peoples throughout the Western Hemisphere, and we could go to the world and spread it across the world, but we are Indigenous here in this part of the world, the Western Hemisphere, and we've been separated, we've been displaced, but somehow they're deep down inside us, as you guys know, we carry something so eminently Earth, and part of that is coming across in a different temperament, I guess you would say, the patience for each other, the patience that Earth has shown us. And we listen to understand, not listen to reply. But since we're on a radio, we have to be temporal because we only have so many minutes on the radio. But the other part is spatial. We are spatial beings, and the whole is involved, the whole spectrum of viewpoint that we come from, as well as from the Earth. And I know you've been, you know, studying from where you're coming from where you are coming from, Lucas and Amazon, and then you from Ecuador and the mountains and that area of the mountains, and you from Mexico. This wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for the displacement, but we are here recognizing that. So just your thoughts.
And displacement has always been a certain thing for myself, because I was born in Manaus, as I stated, and I left there when I was a baby, and I lived like in the southern part of Brazil for most of my life, and then I came back to live in Manaus as a teenager. So I have my family connection to the place, but I haven't the experience of actually living there, like knowing how the people there live, the food, everything, right? So I went there as a teenager. I didn't want to go back. And I felt this place where I lived. But then I come back to the place where I was born, and I felt this place too. And I still feel kind of displaced when I go there, because every time I go, I'm still learning about food, about plants, about everything. So, and now I'm here. Mm-hmm. So I feel that the displacement, the feeling of this being displaced, is something that keeps going with me. And I don't think that it's going somewhere like in my whole life. It's just something that we need to do. And I think we all have to deal with those stuff. Like we all here in this room, all the feelings, all the things that we share at Tildes, it's something that, yeah, we have to, that always comes up.
Yeah, what comes up is, you know, a different thought process, and it's not necessarily like I can come on a radio and do a who, what, when, where, and why, a mechanical interview, but it's more whatever comes non-agenda style. That we're not really thinking it, we're feeling what needs to be said, because that message is eminently bigger than we are.
Yeah. Well,
Christian.
Yeah, thank you. This is Christian. Thank you for that, Lucas. Yeah, so much that comes up, and really just coming into this practice when being in the land to just be still a little bit, feel it in, and let that silence come through. So I just mentioned this because, you know, what was coming up, as you mentioned, that has been the journeys as a kid in Ecuador, being in surrounded by family, being around, you know, cornfields, being around just like subsistence farming type of lifestyle, usually growing what you need, any little extra, it's taken to the market with your grandma, and you sell that and you share that, to like having the mentality of like, that's not being enough. Like what the earth sustains you with, and everything you having family and animals, just being around this like relationship, not being enough somehow, and having your parents seek it somewhere else, going to the city, having this mentality, this like entire feeling of like not being enough to be in a relationship with the earth, and eventually coming to the estates, seeking, of course, this coin, right? Seeking this status that this coin allows, or comforts, if you want to put it in those senses, but always feeling like the displacement came in a way that was so immaterial, that was so not, you know. And but anyway, just going through the different iterations of finally coming to the States, and still feeling like not belonging anywhere you go, you know, not feeling like you're not enough. So, you know, just I sit with that, and I like to really, you know, see where that seed is, where that seed that was planted, and where it's been, you know, spreading new seeds at, that I may maybe cultivate the seed in a different way, especially since the son that I have, 4 years old, Sacha, is becoming a pivot point for me. It's becoming a point where I can reflect and want to decide to walk a different way and deal with this displacement in a different way. So yeah, I'm thinking about that. And appreciate just, you know, having this time to really look into that and the different ways that shows up, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. This is Jonathan speaking. What you said, Lucas, struck and resonated very deeply. I was born in Tuxtepec, Oaxaca, as I said, and I left 4 months. My family left 4 or 5 months after I was born, and what you were both saying about feeling that sense of displacement of that what you say spatial and to the land, there's almost this spiritual displacement that has happened too for a lot of people, that even sometimes when we find ourselves still on our homeland, we're separated from our original instructions, our original relationship with the earth, and I think right now of my father, who was born and raised in the same town, same place where his ancestors had been for almost 10,000 years, and they didn't call it like a residential school or a boarding school, but it was a school that certainly brought them into this sense of maybe colonization, if you might say, to think differently, to act differently, to live differently, so much so that he found the need to leave there, come to New York City to work, to bring money so he could send it back home. Right. That's why we came, that's why we left. And so I find that spiritual displacement, that spatial, that land displacement stays with us. And it sounds like that's what you were talking to Christian a little bit. And it's hard to understand how to recover something, reclaim something, and continue to be resilient in our lives. Mm. But I find lots of inspiration in this room right now, who I'm looking at and who I'm speaking with. So, and knowing you three, I feel like, yeah, there's pathways back about remembering and being in the process. And that process is, as it was told to me, compassionate communication. So staying with the process, staying in communication, and finding compassion for ourselves and for those who we speak with, even if we may not agree, And I'm sure with this room, sometimes we find a lot of different ideas that we come across that we don't necessarily agree with in our own lives, but it's staying with it, it's staying here and staying within that compassionate communication that I find that is the way that helps me come from a place of maybe this dominance, this dominator culture, to a sense of what another teacher tells me about reverence and the reverence culture or reverence code.
That reminds me of our language. And Christian, you mentioned something about the recognition of land and language, but the recognition of language that the land draws from you. You know, as we know, this is Lenape area. But many people force that acknowledgement on themselves to say, well, we did it, we said it, this is Lenape. But without seeing us as Native people in that same territory, our blood, our DNA comes from this side of the earth, right? And so we recognize that in having to speak this foreign language, and I know you three speak Espanol, and I speak English, but I still am able to, how do you say it, recognize that it was, like you say, not too long ago that was Quechua territory, not too long ago was Taino, not too long ago was your people from the Amazon, right? Mm. And not too long ago, my people Lakota came out this way and visited everybody. And I think about, oh, I'm not a tourist. I never felt like a tourist, and never will. So I don't have that. I'm a nomad. I'm grounded because the earth is in relationship to what's going on in South America, so to speak. And it's all communicating. So yeah, from that point, rather than, you know, like I'm relocated because the laws of the U.S. said, there's a relocation you must go on, and we'll split up your family from, when we say family, from your extended family, we'll take you as a nuclear unit and you can find a job in Detroit. We'll give you an alarm clock and a job, and that's it. You pay your rent and all that. So it took them away from relationship with the land. But I don't feel that. That's a mental junk thing that I talk about. It's more like, hey, this is not a mental separation. This is a spiritual enlargement of who we are as indigenous peoples, because to me, indigenous voices are needed now, especially with climate change, while we go through as indigenous peoples climate damage.
Right.
Yeah. We always have to look to the bright side of things, right? Mm. So, and when I think nowadays, I realize that the displacement thing for me is the thing that draw me to photography, that draw me to filmmaking, that draw me to looking to other cultures and be inspired by it, that made me want to learn other languages like Spanish or English and even other languages. And yeah, and that's what brought me here. That's why I'm sitting here with you guys from different parts, talking and sharing about those feelings. So it's very interesting that when I look to people who have a very good sense of belonging, they sometimes feel so attached to their places that they can't go anywhere else. They don't feel like comfortable going anywhere else. And I have the feeling, which is something to deal with, but when I go somewhere, I feel that I can get used to it pretty quickly, which is good. But at the time, it's the feeling of displacement that's going along with me. But at the same time, this same thing brought me so much good stuff.
Don't you feel that anywhere you go, anywhere in the world? For me, I'm comfortable with who I am. So, because I think one thing, the barrier that keeps me from not feeling comfortable is the fact that I don't own the place.
Yeah. The surface level stuff.
Yeah.
Speak a little closer. Christian here, and really, oh my gosh, the threads that are being weaved here. It's very exciting to, stepping into the, as a walking being, as a walking like body, that and being identified with what's sometimes missing because of all the limits that my parents are telling me at the time as a kid in Ecuador, like, we don't have this, we don't have that, da 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 da. And so coming to the United States and looking for those things that are lacking, and still being in a relationship so much to just the immediate places around me, and being like, wait, my country is somewhere else, where my culture is somewhere else. Like always having this, like, being only in one area, like very, very spatial, very, very limited, to what you just mentioned, Teokasin, about the expansiveness, and you know, that's resonating to me now, because I had to go through these really depressive moments to like surrender to the earth, like really coming to not wanting to live in this now culture, this mainstream culture, and just the culture of separatism, the culture of being separate from the earth, is really what was driving me crazy, and yeah, getting me to points that just wasn't helpful. It wasn't going to be useful to the earth itself, you know, all these trains of thoughts. But mentioning the expansiveness, having to go through those oppressive things in order to surrender and finally letting the earth speak to me, I did have to go back to Ecuador after coming here and being 13 years in the United States, and then having to go back and just really missing it, like out of need, and being like, there's something there that I'm lacking, that I left, that I don't know what happened. But you know, luckily I was able to unite with my uncle, and he brought me to the jungle in the Amazonian part of Ecuador, and there having a San Pedro ceremony where I was able to finally like just lose more mental chains that said you were separate from her, and finally having her voice, Mother Earth, being like, listen, you're here, thank God, you know, you came back to me. You're in the United States, but you're always on me. Like, I'm always sustaining, I'm always holding you, no matter where you are. You can't separate me, even if you think in your mind, because of the spatial recognitions of where you are, that you're so separate that you need to be in one space to feel me. No, I'm everywhere. And so that was like a life-saving just turning point for me, where I started feeling what you're talking to, what I'm receiving from what you're saying to Teokasin, is this sense of like, man, like I can really, it sounds a little cliche, but I can really make home where my heart is. Like, if my heart is where the earth, then I'm home everywhere, because there's nowhere I can turn to that I can't find the earth, no matter if it's concrete, no matter if it's steel, no matter, you know, no matter where I'm at. But That literally saved my life and allowed me to start slowly mending my relationship to it, and saying, hey, you know, as long as I can be quiet, take a pause, I can feel her again. Aquí estoy. So this coming back here, maybe that's why I came to the United States without me realizing. Maybe that's why I came here, because I needed to maybe share this perspective, go through that, not realize what was happening, you know, make my own decisions and say, with my own free will, I choose to be back in relationship with her. Yeah.
Yeah, this idea of home is very interesting to me, because I find myself here renting an apartment in a place that I don't know how welcome I feel, but I feel when I step outside of the door, then I'm more home than when I am inside the building. And I think that's what, like you said, Lucas, it brought you to photography. For me, it brought me to learning to work with fire, right? So when I put my hands together and I rub the spindle down the stalk, and I see that connection be alive in front of my face, I recognize home. I recognize a sense of belonging. I recognize love, something that... you know, I don't see a lot in the world like that, but I feel it. You know, I feel it's there. So what it feels like I see a lot is we've equated, like what you said, maybe that junk of property ownership with home, mm-hmm. and I think that ideology, when it when it lands in us, it takes hold, but it's something that's trying to move in and take place of what we've always had, right? Home. It's always been there for all of us, and it's about that for me, you know, working through that, letting go of this ideology, and remembering my relationship. So when I'm there with the fire, or when I'm here in conversation with you all, this feels home.
It's almost at the bottom of the hour, and that temporal thing called time. We have to, you know, put ourselves in that box. And I'm thinking about maybe when come back, we can discuss this idea of, because when I'm with you all, I'm not feeling like I'm rich or poor, especially not poor. And in our peoples, there's no such word. The concept of poor doesn't exist. And yet we deal with the duality that we're speaking of in our respective languages, Spanish and English, is that they tell us that you're poor because you don't materially own something, or because you have, you're rich, right? So I'm thinking, wow, okay. So if we don't have it in my culture, what it means to me is saying, well, we forgot how to give. People have nothing to give, so they forget. And then the other side of the table is, I have so much to give that I don't give it anyway. We also forget how to give. So it becomes charity. And that's not really, that's poverty on both ends, what I'm saying. When we come back, we'll probably talk about that, if you will. Jonathan and Gonzalez and Christian Sagbay.
See.
And Lucas Jatoba from Brazil, Mexico, Ecuador. And my name is Teokasen Ghost Horse. You're listening to First Voices Radio.
Through all my days, child, how this place was settled, the murder and the shame, secrets being exposed, child, truth we must uphold, child, constant fight for justice to pave the way for change. Living in denial, going through the same old cycle, penal colony survival, depending on your ball and chain. System gonna customize ya. The man ain't gonna redefine ya. Gotta hunt like a nighttime spider, depending on your ball and chain.
Up. But see, my soul is getting heavy. Pressure on my back and I can barely hold it steady. In a cold world, but daily I keep sweating, cause I'm vulnerable, locked in a system that's so deadly. And now I'm racing to build a foundation, to raise a better life for the younger generation. Discriminations, we have to change those, and mix up all colors to form a rainbow. Cause this ball and chain has incarcerated my freedom. Born into the system and wasn't given a reason. Same cycle continues and follows the same sequence. Screaming for a change and it's bringing out in the demons. Cause this ball and chain got me feeling some type of way. Ball and chain got me feeling like I'm a slave. It's like I'm swimming out, but an anchor's got me drowned. But still I survive, and to keep alive, I gotta pray.
We may find the need to mix up all the colors.
this is Teokasin Ghost Horse, and you're listening to First Voices Radio here in the lands of Lenape. I'm with Christian Sagbai and Lucas Jatoba and Jonathan Gonzalez in studio. We're talking various things, and go with us, flow with us, and be with us as we go through this. And we're going to do this again sometime in the future and keep this flow going. As I finished, I talked about the poverty and the difference between poverty and wealth. That poverty is something that maybe is because we forgot how to give. So we were always trying to be rich, and those who are rich forgot also how to give. So they turn it into charity. Both ends, the duality of poverty and wealth, do not want anything taken away from one. Wants both the same thing. It's called greed. One has it and wants to keep it. Another one wants to have what the wealthy have. And that's the imbalance of anything. So what I'm saying is that there's a balancing going on. And as long as we remember as indigenous peoples that the earth is the balancing of who we are, then the language follows. The language of if we speak the native language or not, we are kind of stuck with these languages with the Romance languages, English and Spanish, and we're often talking about ourselves in a sense, the I, the me, the my, the mine, and ours, and how much we lost or how much can we gain. So we're in a duality of that. So what happened in the original purpose of coming here was domination. Domination came into play. And when you think about domination, it's everywhere. But the religious and the scientific and the governmental are all domination, and they control the language that we speak. And you were mentioning this too, Lucas, is let's talk about the language. And I really want to, because I think that's the mainstay of why we are here, understand ourselves as well as being able to articulate what we're feeling in an expressionist language, as I say, such as English.
Yeah, this is Christian. One thing I would like to recognize is that Spanish, English are colonizers' languages, as you were mentioning, you know, and I want to definitely make that clear, that, you know, in the journey that I have, it's once again looking at that, the I. It's like, which I? And it's something that we keep catching ourselves in. And also, it's also interesting because the pronouns has been a recent thing, but also not so recent in a certain sense, in how we relate to one another. And so there's a time when we really wanted to use we and us to present ourselves as like the wholesome oneness that planet is showing us that we are. And so it's been fascinating because now it's been a struggle to relate that to that, using that language, to the parent that I have. You know, the parent that I have is set in who I am, but still missing, I think, a big part in who we are beyond those concepts. And so that's how I want to start this part of the conversation, is really acknowledging that we're utilizing a sort of outdated technology and language itself being that can be limiting, as well as finding a ways to really express ourselves in the fullest sense, which is where I think language justice is coming in, to offer those voices to others, even if it is using these outdated technologies. Mm-hmm. So just opening the way through that. And it would be the biggest accomplishment in my life to get a deeper relationship to the Quechua language, which is where the folks that I come from are. This is the language, the technology that they use.
Yeah, I hear that because I know when I stepped into a space when I heard Taino spoken for the first time, I didn't know what was being said, but I felt something so deep, you know, some relationship that was there the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, so in my quest, you know, that I'll be taking in January, going back to Oaxaca for 4 months. My hope is to reconnect with the Chinanteco languages there. So, because I want to feel that again. Because when I think of this, as you say, outdated technology, this tool that we use to converse and relate back and forth this English and Spanish language, and I think of it in terms of poverty and wealth. It's there's such a creative way that people use language to almost manipulate these different ideas, fabricate different ideas, right? And so poverty and wealth are two ends of the same, with two sides of the same coin, right? But when I think of wealth, and you said it, Tiokasin, you feel rich or wealthy here, because it's in relationship. And when I can experience and when I can feel that relationship, that's when I also feel the wealth, the true wealth.
Yeah, and as you were saying, Christian, Spanish, English, and also Portuguese, those are Western European languages, so they are like colonizer languages. And as I remember that I told that to Tiokasin the other day, that language is always the first barrier. So when someone comes to other's land and wants to conquest that place, the first thing that the Spanish, the Portuguese, the English did was to force their language, because with language comes culture. So, and we are impregnated with all that stuff. So we fit in a box, and languages get us trapped because they're a closed system. So we only have those few words, those that we can use to express ourselves, and we feel better doing that in our native languages. So I really feel better doing that. Like, I would feel way better doing this if I was speaking Portuguese, but then you wouldn't be understanding me. So, but, and I need, it takes some effort to try and find the words to express some feelings that I deeply have within me that I just can't express in English or even in Spanish, that it's a very similar language, it's a very close language to Portuguese. So we have such similar languages, but even though the feelings are not there. And if you look closely to Brazilian Portuguese, to be more specific, when we go to Portugal, like, Brazilians usually have a hard time like dealing and understanding what they're saying. It's kind of close what Americans feel when they go like to the UK, but, and Brazil is just a huge country, and we have so much words and so many words that came from Africa, and also from the whole community of indigenous people around Brazil, and a lot of words that are derived from that, and they don't exist anywhere else, like, besides Brazil. So it gets that we have a lot of culture going on that is from so many different places that we found ourselves how to express with. And when we are here trying to speak English, we're talking about all those things and all those feelings that came from Mexico, Ecuador, and also here in the U.S., but it's a very different U.S. for you, Tiokasin.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying here is, you know, like, we have to speak out of a box now, not just technically, but speaking out of a box of, to put back in the box, we have to decode who we are so that we can be defined by that language and standardize the emotion rather than the feeling, because the emotion is one, to me, that can be manipulated.
Right.
Right. But it's the feeling of Earth that we have, and I'm thinking about, so this month is Native American Month in the United States, right? So we get to be natives for a month, right? And what happened to the other? See, this is where other natives, like, well, come on, they're giving us attention, but is it our job to get attention in their domination, or just continue to be who we are? Because every time we say, well, okay, thank you for the month. I have my hands closed. In prayer.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us that month. You know, thank you. It's like, okay, but we don't want to bite the hand that feeds us.
Right. Yeah. It's like what you've spoken with us about, the parabox, right? And the paradigm. and using that language, it keeps us in it. We're working, trying to work from within to find almost a solution, almost an answer, you know. And we're like desperate for answers, and we're desperate for solutions. So we look within what is provided to us, and so like we say thank you for this month, you know. Oh, like we can be native, but you know, it's like, well, if we don't challenge those ideas, if we don't question that, if we don't have this conversation about it, and we lay back and say thank you, and we'll take the recognition, and we'll take the opportunity to honor, and we'll go to the powwow, and we'll sit in the teepee and the things like this, and you know, then it's like, oh no, we've continued to recognize the walls of the box, and we've accepted that, and we're needing to look outside of the box where we were from originally, at the earth, you know, Mother Earth here.
It's, yeah.
The work that...
Go ahead, please.
The work that Christian does, like, with language justice has all to do with that. You could talk a little bit more about it.
No, I appreciate that, man, and I welcome that. It's been something that's been coming out of the struggles, a lot of like campesinas in South America, just really finding a way to organize, and I think a lot of that's been happening in our very, you know, recent times. In Ecuador, there was an uprising there, but in general, I think, just to put it in that way, it's something that has been trying to find the limits, but like go beyond the limits. Like if we say that language is a limit, which I understand where that's coming from, that then we're going to stay and accept those boxes as they are, and just be like, okay, we can't communicate with this person. Well, we just have to ignore them because this is a resource that we have, and that's it. And I think that's been the history here in the United States. You know, growing up as a kid, I had to translate for my mom because things weren't available in Spanish, but like with language justice, we're saying no, there's a community out there. We're not in a box. Yeah. We can pretend to be in a box, and we want to reach out to that community and make sure that there's this flow of communication, not one way, really multiple ways. So multilingual reality is what we're trying to just really uplift and everywhere we are. And it's so ironic because coming to the United States and having this idea of like, this is the melting pot, you know, that was a very key phrase. It's like, well, where's all the languages that came with the melting pot? Like, you're gonna like ignore all that and say English is the way to go? Like, come on now. And so we're losing a lot of cosmovisions, we're losing a lot of connections and ways to really understand each other if we don't go beyond those limits. So that's what I, very briefly, for the limited amount of time that I have, I just wanted to uplift that, yes, you know, languages with all its nuances, we can connect and include the one of the biggest, I think, things that we want to go for is go beyond the English and Spanish and include the indigenous tongues. Yeah. If we can use that as a way to influence English and Spanish and make an upgrade this technology, update it to have some way, somehow, utilizing the original languages in our verbiages while we're using English or Spanish, you know, kind of like we use Spanglish, then we can have a new color to paint with. Then we have a new way to relate to each other, a new way not only to each other but acknowledge Earth. I can't emphasize that enough. Is really the visceral connection that we have with it, and so yeah, that's kind of the that's language justice for me right now.
Very good, Jonathan.
Well, the one thing I'm thinking of right now is a phrase that came up today in language, and regenerative real estate. And so, and I say that, and
How did we all react? We're struggling.
As soon as I said it, everybody in the room kind of just shrugs and laughs and just scratches their head almost, you know, because this is the thing about language. Yes, I'm so grateful for you, Christiane, for doing this work, because, you know, you're bringing us to an awareness that's so great, you know. And what I'm saying is, like, yes, and what we have right now is so in need to be challenged, right? Mm-hmm. To be challenged, especially when we put a few words together to make this phrase that's going to sound good, you know, that's going to be filled with intention of goodness, right? But if we you know, parse it out, so to speak, you know, we find something very insidious, right? We find almost something, and I don't know if that's a word, but we find something that is trying to keep us connected to inside, to keep us connected to capitalism, keep us connected to ownership, keep us, this idea of separation, right? Keep informing these ideas of separation. So this is the thing that's coming up for me right now, and I'm struggling with it. You know, I struggle with it every day, and I see it every day as I learn more about the history and how they took language and they came over here and they blessed the land, right? They changed the names of the land. My name, Jonathan, you know, this is a name that's straight from the Bible also, you know, and so there's a lot to just, right?
Lucas.
Yeah, Lucas.
También, right? We're all puzzles here. See, so, you know, so we all have it, and it's all kind of always being pushed on us. It's like, oh, this is good. That's a beautiful name, Lucas, right? That's a beautiful name, Christian, right? But do we take the opportunity to look deeply into it? And I feel like this is what you're doing, and this is what I hear you, Tio Kasim, doing often. Thank you.
No, it's really one thing to be sure of is that when I'm speaking English, I have to come from a conscience, whether I'm saying the right thing or the wrong thing, right? So it's a duality. But when in Lakota, I'm using consciousness. I'm aware more so, and it's a full spectrum awareness about everything behind you that you can't see and you can feel through intuition. And you've heard me say this before. My 88-year-old mother told me that we cannot speak Lakota without intuition. But when I'm using English, it's having to do that I say the right thing. Am I effective enough, right? Rather than just listening for it to understand, rather than listening so I can reply. So that's the time constraints of, you know, a cause and effect, I would say. But yeah, just any quick words you got to say, you know, before we go out. And just want to welcome you all and thank you all for joining us here on First Voices Radio. Christian.
Just so much gratitude. I'm going to leave it at that. Gratitude for y'all.
Yeah, same. And as I've listened over the years now, you know, I'm humbled to be in this space.
Likewise.
You know, I'm humbled to meet new familia, new relatives, you know. Not even new, you know, right. That's not even the word, right?
Yeah.
But we've always been here. Mm-hmm. So let's remember that.
Yeah. So I'd like to thank Tio Kasim for the invitation again. And I feel honored to be here. And thanks for you all, guys. Thanks, Christian. Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you all for all the conversation that we've been having beyond this day today in the radio, because it has been really cool to be around you guys.
Ongoing process.
Yeah. And like you remember, we're not doing this because of Indigenous Peoples Month or Native American Month.
All right.
This is what they want us to do. Let's fit them in the box because it's Thanksgiving and whatever, right?
And so,
about that.
I don't even know what those things are.
No.
You're blessed.
Well, anyway, but thank you all. Lucas Jatoba and Christian Matute Sagbay and Jonathan Gonzalez from their respective lands of Mexico and Ecuador and Brazil and coming to Turtle Island. I welcome you anytime that you want because it's, quote unquote, your land too. This land is your land. This man is your whatever.
Yeah.
So, but thank you. And thank you for those listeners out there. We are not here. We are not complaining. We are just talking our truth from that heart. So Thank you. This is First Voices Radio. My name is Teokasin Ghost Doors. Thank you for joining us next time. We'll come back with more in the future.
Winged hawks swooping down on prey, curtain going up on nighttime shadow play. Seen sun going down, set the sea on fire, black smoke boiling from burning tires, and bones in the mud was the blood sacrifice required. Ooh, all the sights I've seen, in the depth of the world and the heart of a dream. All the places I've been, each one reflected in the states I'm in. Oh, states I'm in.
States I'm in. Ooh, sun reflected in the states I'm in on. States I'm in.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy lunes